This Maghrib and Isha Salat will be made with one azan and one iqamat. Just one azan will be given and one iqamat will be given. And after that first the three rakats of Maghrib will be performed. And immediately after the three rakats of Maghrib there will be no sunnah read. There will be two rakats of Isha if you are a musafir and four rakats if you are not a musafir. And then you make your sunnat and witr and all the rest after that. But it will be just one azan and one iqamat and both the namazes will be read together. Now Muzdalifah again, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came and what did he do? He made a lot of dua for the ummah and he prayed that, Ya Allah, you can also forgive injustices. So that is where the dua was accepted. That the person has sincerely made tawbah, repented. Inshallah, after that he was unable to pay back whatever was due. Or if he was unable to make amends for whatever mistakes he had made with regard to injustice, then on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will please those people by giving them plenty of rewards in Jannah, so they will forgive this person. But it means, but you must make an effort, but if before you could have done that you die, then inshallah those injustices also Allah Ta'ala will forgive. So this Muzdalifah also was for Ibadat. But also, if you are tired, there is no harm in sleeping and resting. From Muzdalifah, it is permissible to send the ladies and the little children and the very old and the weak people away before Subuh Sadiq. Before Subuh Sadiq, they can go away if there is somebody to take them. But for the others, it is wajib to make the wukuf of Muzdalifah. And what is the wukuf of Muzdalifah? That after Subuh Sadiq, you make the Fajr Namaz in the earliest time, like how we make in Ramzan here. As soon as it's Subuh Sadiq, we make our Fajr Namaz. And after the Fajr Namaz, then you face towards the Kaaba Sharif and make a lot of dua again. That's what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did. Face Kaaba Sharif and make as much dua as possible. And when it is a little before sunrise, then you proceed towards Mina. Then you proceed towards Mina. That is the wukuf of Muzdalifah. The wukuf of Muzdalifah, which is wajib, is this. That after your Fajr Salat, you stay in Muzdalifah for a little while, making dua, and then you proceed towards Mina. Now besides that, there is one more thing that you will have to now be doing on the 10th, and that is the stoning of the Jamarat. So the pebbles that you require for the stoning of the Jamarat, which we commonly call Shaitan, it is preferable that you pick it up from Muzdalifah. How many do you require? You require 7 for the first day, that is the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, 21 for the 11th, 21 for the 12th. And if you are staying on the 13th, it is sunnah to stay the evening of the 13th also there. If you are staying behind, then you will require 21 for the following day. But if you are not staying for the 13th, then you require 49 pebbles. Now, it is preferable to carry a few more, so that in case you drop a pebble or so, then you do not have a problem. But if you didn't pick it up from there, it is permissible to pick it up from anywhere, except those areas which are around those shayateen or around the jamarat, because those pebbles that lie around there are the rejected ones, so you should not pick up that. But from other areas you can pick it up. So it's not compulsory to pick it up at Muzdalifah, but it is sunnah that you pick it up at Muzdalifah. So Muzdalifah, you have finished the wukuf, now you have come to Mina on the 10th. Now this 10th day is a very hectic day. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if you ask Him for health, if you ask Him for courage, Allah Ta'ala makes it easy. In fact, everything that happens there, it just happens with the Qudrat of Allah. People extremely weak. In South Africa, they haven't walked from here till the other end of the masjid. But you don't know how they walk Safa Marwa there. People arrive there so sick, high temperature, and next thing they are doing Safa Marwa. They're making tawaf. So that is a place where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives people the courage. But we must ask for it, and we must always ask Allah to make Hajj as easy as possible. the niyat that we have been taught, the niyat of tawaf, of umrah, of sa'i, and of hajj, the niyat which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us, what niyat did he teach us? Ya Allah, I am intending making umrah, make it easy for me and accept it from me. I intend making tawaf, make it easy for me and accept it from me. I intend making Safa Marwa Sa'i, make it easy for me and accept it from me. I intend making Hajj, make it easy for me and accept it from me. On the 10th of Zulhijjah, the first thing that you have to do is stone. We will use the same term, big shaitan. Jamratul Aqaba wa Quba, the big shaitan as they call it. That's the only thing that is to be stoned on the 10th of Zulhijjah. Now you are in your ihram, you have arrived there, so you stone this. The time for stoning begins after Subuh Sadiq of the 10th. After Subuh Sadiq of the 10th, the time for stoning that big shaitan begins. It is sunnah to stone until Zawal, and after that until Maghrib on that day. If the person is fit and healthy, then it becomes makruh. It doesn't become haram or anything. But in the conditions that are prevalent there now, with the massive crowd that is there, there is absolutely no harm if you stone even after Zawal on the 10th. And for the ladies, there is no problem at all whether it is the stoning of the 10th or stoning of the 11th or stoning of the 12th. Remember this. For the ladies and for the weak and for the old people, there is no sin at all, there is no problem at all if they are taken at night, 10 p.m., 11 p.m., if you have to take your ladies there. They can go right near the jamarat and throw the pebbles like that without any problem. No bumping, no pushing, there's nobody there at that time stoning. But people are in a hurry, they want to get over everything. Now there was no need to take the ladies and push them into that crowd in the morning. But why do they do that? Is because until the stoning is not done, then you cannot go and make your tawaf as ziyarat. And you cannot do your qurbani. So either you be a little patient, or you have to go through those trials. So on the 10th, after you have stoned the Jamratul Uqba or the big shaitan, after you have thrown the 7 pebbles, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that this throwing of the pebbles, with each pebble, Allah Ta'ala forgives one major sin, which would have destroyed this person if it had not been forgiven there. What a blessing. One major sin with each pebble, which would have destroyed this person. Allah Ta'ala would have sent some severe azab on this person because of that sin. But now that he came for Hajj and he threw that pebble, Allah Ta'ala forgives that sin of his, that major sin. So 49 if he throws, and if he stays one more day and throws another 21, imagine how many major sins Allah Ta'ala forgives. So every way is the forgiveness of sin, is barakat and rahmat of Allah. So it must be just thrown there. And some people take all 7 and throw it like that, that's not permissible. It will be counted as 1. So you must take the pebbles and just read Bismillah, Allah, Bismillah, Rajman li Shaitan, Waridan li Rahman. You take that and you throw it. You throw the pebble like that, and if you don't know, then you just make Bismillah and throw it, that is also sufficient. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was taking Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam for Qurbani, Shaitan appeared at these places and tried to put him off this intention of his. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam took pebbles and threw at Shaitan, and this is a reminder of that incident. It's not that the Shaitan is there. Some people think that the Shaitan is there. So they take their shoes and they take rocks and they take the sandals and everything and throw it there. You find big pile of all sandals and shoes, and some of them swear to in their own language. Bahut pareshan kiya tha, one Pakistani was shouting, "Aaj bataunga tujhe." That tarike, hai tarike nahi le. what language you hear there, as if he's really eating shaitan there. But when he's saying that, he's actually eating himself, because shaitan is having a good laugh, that you're supposed to be throwing the pebble in the sunnat way, not swearing me here. So this is what you will notice there. You do not worry about that, but do not go with the ladies at such a time that unnecessarily they will be hurt or injured. They can stone even at night, but after you have finished the stoning, until they haven't stoned, you can't make qurbani. So when you have finished the stoning, seven pebbles have been thrown there, then you go for the qurbani. Now they have this coupon system, and they have other abattoirs also. So those who buy those coupons, then what they must be careful about is that those animals must not be slaughtered before the person has completed his stoning. Until he hasn't stoned, the qurbani must not be done. And until the qurbani is not done, he cannot shave off his hair. That is the thing. And until he doesn't shave off his hair, he is not out of his ihram. So this is that procedure which is wajib, which is compulsory, that it must be followed. And that is the reason why people are in a hurry. So if the person is not certain that his qurbani is done, then he must wait. One person should go there and check on the numbers. They give you numbers and they tell you, well, now so many people, qurbani has been done. If your numbers have come, then you can shave the hair. If it hasn't come, you cannot shave the hair. So that is something that a person should be careful about. But it's preferable if people are experienced and they know where the other abattoirs are, then you go and buy your animal, or one person goes and buys it for the others and for the ladies, and then he sacrifices it, and then they can come, and then they can shave off their hair, or the ladies can clip their hair, and they are out of the ihram. So this qurbani also is confused with the qurbani that we do here. This term dam takes people's dam out sometimes, because they don't know what this dam is all about. So this dam, this is a sacrificing of that animal. If you are doing tamattu hajj or qiran hajj, and South Africans normally do tamattu or qiran, so for tamattu and qiran hajj you have to make a sacrifice of one sheep, one goat, or take one share in a camel or cow, as we do here. That is for the hajj. The other qurbani which we make in South Africa every year, if it's a rich person, then he can instruct his family to do it here for him. It's not necessary that you must do it there. You'll get more sawab if you do it there. But that is a different qurbani altogether. This qurbani that we are talking about is for the hajj, that when you make hajj, tamattu or qiran, then you have to sacrifice one sheep or one goat. And for every hair of that animal, you get blessing. And in the haram sharif, then whatever you spend there, 100,000 rewards. So you can imagine how much of blessing the person gets. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sacrificed 100 camels for his hajjatul wida. 63 is slaughtered with his own hand. The haji there looks for the cheapest animal, and half the time they say that money is finished. Where is it finished? Because they bought so much of radios, watches, gold, silver. Now the money is finished. So they ask Masla, is it possible if we instruct somebody at home to make this qurbani there? So this qurbani has to be done there. It is the hajj qurbani. The other qurbani you can instruct them at home. So when the qurbani is done, then you shave off the hair. And I've explained to you last night that you must be very careful. Every person who has got a jack razor sits down in that area there, because 1 million, 2 million people are making hajj there. So they all sit down with jack razors there. And every person wants to make a few riyals there. So you must be very careful, make sure that you are sitting with the right person. After you have shaved off your hair, it now relieves you of your ihram. You can now wear your normal clothes. You can wash your hands with soap. You can apply ether and perfume. There is no sin. The only thing that is not permissible still is relationship with one's wife. Remember those who are going for hajj, that lots of our South Africans and others from Mina, they go to the hotel to go and have a shower and put on their normal clothes. So that is the time that shaitan tempts them to commit the sin. So they must be careful that although they are out of their ihram, but the only thing which is not yet permissible is relationship with one's wife. That is a very important thing which you must remember. Otherwise your hajj, if you, before the tawaf is ziyarat, if a person indulges in such kind of sin, then it will destroy his hajj and he will have to give dam of a big animal, of a cow or a buffalo or a camel. So instead of all that, this is a masla that you should remember. Now that you have got your normal clothes, you go back to the Haram Sharif, now you are going to go for tawaf e ziyarat. So on the 10th, what did we do? We stoned the first big shaitan. After that, qurbani. After qurbani, shaving of the hair, or for the ladies, clipping of the hair. And thereafter, tawaf e ziyarat. This tawaf e ziyarat is farz. Here again, people must be careful, those who are taking their wives and going, or their mothers and going, their sisters and going, then do not book your tickets in such a way that they could miss the hajj. Without tawaf e ziyarat, their hajj is not complete. If the woman is in her menstrual days, during the tawaf e ziyarat days, then whenever she obtains cleanliness and purification, she doesn't have to give any dam. It is perfectly permissible for her to make the tawaf e ziyarat. But if she leaves out the tawaf e ziyarat and returns, then that hajj is invalid. She will have to repeat that hajj. And she is not out of her ihram, and it will become a very difficult thing. So when you are doing your bookings, then you must be careful about this. For the men and for those ladies who are in a clean state, it is compulsory that they must complete the tawaf e ziyarat by sunset of the 12th, they must complete the tawaf e ziyarat. If they have not completed the tawaf e ziyarat, then they will have to give a dam. So this is for those people, for the men folk and for those women who are in a clean state. But the other women, they can even make the tawaf e ziyarat after that. But without tawaf e ziyarat, they cannot return. The next point, or the next thing that happens after tawaf e ziyarat, is that you come back to Mina. But before you come to Mina, there is Safa Marwa Sa'i. Now this Safa Marwa Sa'i, if you have done it before going to Mina, is permissible. That before you go to Mina on the 8th, you put on your ihram, you make one nafil tawaf, and you make sa'i between Safa and Marwa. If you did that before Hajj, you do not have to do it now. But if you didn't do it before Hajj, then now after this tawaf e ziyarat, then you go and make your sa'i of Safa Marwa. The same procedure as we discussed last night. When you have finished with that, you go back to Mina, and we are coming towards the end now, that now for the 11th and the 12th, for these days, you will have to stone all three, the small one, the center one, and the big one. All three jamarats will have to be stoned, seven pebbles on each. And the rest of the time you spend in tilawat, ibadat, or rest. Stoning on the 11th and on the 12th, it begins after zawal. After the zawal,